Information Technology Services Librarian, and I'm also an English adjunct.
Okay, great. And what can you tell me about this new Community Life Covenant, and when were you made aware of it?
As a full-time faculty member, we were made aware of it about 2 years ago, I believe, and the administration had said they were attempting to clarify the identity of the institution.
And when was it clear to you that it was going to have these parts of it that concern gay marriage and abortion?
Those two things were very clear from the beginning, and concerned faculty brought concerns before the administration in listening sessions, but the makeup of the document didn't really change.
Okay, so why is this all happening now then, if this was a couple of years back? Is it that the news reports are a little behind, or is it that it's sort of now at the point where people are jumping ship?
I think the college did a really good job of not letting anyone know they were doing this, and they also asked faculty not to speak about it. They've also asked faculty to not speak to the news media about it. So I think that's one of the reasons that it took so long for it to sort of get out there. It sort of created this environment of fear, I think, that a lot of people feel that if they...
I see. So you were instructed not to talk to the media, but yet you've talked to the Citizen Times and the Charlotte Observer and now me. Why are you doing that? And is that putting your employment at risk?
I'm doing it because I've been personally convicted that what's going on at Montreat and what's going on in the Council of Christian Universities and Colleges is a form of legal discrimination. It sickens me a little bit. My wife identifies as bisexual, and she was raised by two loving lesbians who are married. And I'm also Episcopal, so the church that I attend has a broader view than what's in the document. I had also met one-on-one with the president, told him my concerns, and so I felt that I was free to talk to the media about it because I have a First Amendment right. The administration knows how I've felt throughout the entire process, and so I don't think it's a shock to them that I feel free to speak about it.
Are you worried about your employment there?
I had been, but I'm sort of at this point personally where I feel like what I'm doing is the right thing to do in my situation. And, you know, if it affects my employment, then so be it. But I really don't think the administration is foolish enough to let someone go or terminate someone's employment based on talking to the media. But I was at first, and I probably still am a little bit.
Now, you were one of the people who ended up signing the document reluctantly.
Right.
Must have been a tough call.
Yeah, in March, our contracts were emailed to us, and all of the supporting core documents were embedded in that contract. I had been praying and talking with my wife about what to do, and we're just in a situation where I have to have employment. We have two small boys. She's disabled. And it's the only source of income we have.
And she was so in support of your decision?
It was a hard decision. I think she was in support of it because we need money.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think that's the only reason. You know, she said, I understand why you have to do this. But I know it's definitely hurt her friends, her family, you know.
Have you talked to some of the colleagues of yours who chose not to sign it and are now leaving the school?
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. And how are they feeling right now?
I think a lot of them are feeling like they don't necessarily want to be leaving Montreat, but the circumstances have made it so that they feel like they should. Corey Green and Matt Langston are really good friends of mine. You know, they've both expressed not wanting to leave Montreat, but feeling like they should.
How long have you been with Montreat, by the way?
Well, I grew up in Montreat. My dad has actually taught English for 40 years, 41, 41 years. So I grew up in the community as a small child. I went to Asheville Christian Academy and then actually was a student at Montreux College, graduated in 2007. During that time, I was a student technology assistant, so I actually got a full-time job here after I graduated. And then in 2008, the institution was forced to lay off a bunch of people, and I was one of those people. But the time I had spent in the technology department, I had spent a lot of time in the library helping out the librarians. And in 2010, the library director approached me and asked if I would like a job. And I said, of course. So I have been here for some time. And I feel like one of the things a lot of us really liked about Montreat is that there wasn't a document like this that we had to sign. We had to sign our contracts. We had to submit a faith statement, but there was nothing quite like this in place.
So it changes the way you feel about the school?
Correct.
Was this a school that you had very warm feelings for before all of this?
Yes. Yes, I did. Going to Montreat really shaped how I think, research, and live my life. And so it is sort of disappointing to me.
If this did not exist, you would still love Montreat, I take it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Have things changed on campus any since you've been outspoken about this or since this was introduced? Do people talk to you differently or anything like that? Does it feel different to be on campus?
That's a really good question. I think for the most part, no, but there have been certain situations that made me think.
Like so, what?
Well, I was in a faculty meeting last week or the week before, and the faculty member came up to me and said, I wanted to check on you. I tried to come by the library. You weren't there, but I'm glad I saw you because I wanted to check on you. And I said, you know, why do you need to check on me? And they said, well, you know, all the stuff in the papers. And I said, I'm not afraid. And, you know, I did what I did because I felt Christ leading me to do that. And thanks for checking on me, but I'm not worried. And the person said, well, you know, things can happen when you do stuff like that. And I was like, well, you know, are you checking on me? Or, you know, are you actually cautioning me? Or what? So that was one strange interaction. But for the most part, things have been fine. I have not got any kind of reprimand from administration yet.
You know, this is a religiously affiliated school, obviously. Deep ties to the Graham family and all of that. Do you feel like they don't have a right to do this? I mean, it's their faith, right? So shouldn't they have the right to expect their employees to act in a certain way?
According to U.S. law, it is their right. I don't know if that means I think it's okay or socially acceptable or even morally right. But I do think that U.S. law has made it possible for them to do this.
Mr. King, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything else that you want to say about it?
I would like to say, you know, all of these are my personal opinions. I'm not speaking for the college. I do think our country needs to start thinking about how we allow religion and the state to create situations where discrimination becomes essentially legal. Because, you know, Montreat's not the only place doing this. The lobbyists got all this set up right after Oberfell because they were worried these institutions would be shut down. So I just, you know, I think there's a national conversation that needs to start happening. It's their right to lobby, and you know, as a private institution, it's their right to claim certain things, but I don't feel that it's morally right or even Christian to do so.